Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. Ezekiel, chapter 22. We'll read verses 23 through 31 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ezekiel, chapter 22, verses 23 through 31. Ezekiel 22, verses 23 through 31. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the strange wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Let's finish on verse 31 together. Ready? Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you once again for being here in the midst and meeting with us. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May we listen intently. May we get from heaven today what we need to go out and help this world, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'll read to you again a passage of Scripture that will launch us into this morning's sermon. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30, the Bible says, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You men, I wish that you would get a copy of this sermon, either on cassette tape or on CD. I wish you would study what I'm about to say. I wish you would memorize it and read it and listen to it over and over again. I'm preaching two sermons today. This morning, I'll preach the first. It's entitled, Two Men. Tonight, I will preach a sermon entitled, Two Women. This morning, two men. You say, Brother Owens, what could you possibly be talking about? You're going to preach about two men. Let me tell you, our churches need men. Oh boy, our churches need men. And they need godly men. We need good men in our churches. America needs men in our country. When you say, Brother Owens, two men, what men are you talking about? Well, let me tell you some that I'm not going to talk about today. Today the topic is not Laurel and Hardy, just in case you wondered. It won't be the Lone Ranger and Tonto. It's not going to be Tom and Jerry or Abbott and Costello. We won't be talking about Lewis and Clark or Paul and Silas or Mutt and Jeff, though I do like Jeff there. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid will not be the topic of this morning's sermon. It will not be Ben and Jerry and their fruity gay ice cream. It's not going to be Ike and Mike. It won't be Andy and Barney, Elijah and Elisha, or Batman and Robin. We're going to talk about two men, and these men are opposites. Two men. Men that are opposites. In the book of Proverbs, there are many kinds of men mentioned. You fit, men, into one of these, or many of these categories of description. We need good men in our churches. Let me quickly list for you. I did a study through the book of Proverbs, and I looked for all the different kinds of men that were mentioned there. Let me list them for you. Proverbs 14:7 mentions the foolish man. Proverbs 19:8 talks about a scornful man. Proverbs 9:9 talks about a wise man. Proverbs 9:4 talks about a simple man. Proverbs 27:12 talks about the prudent man. Proverbs 22:13 talks about a slothful man. Proverbs 22:29 talks about the diligent man. Proverbs 28:3 talks about the poor man. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 12 talks about a rich man. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 12 also talks about a wicked man. Proverbs chapter 24 verse number 16 talks about the just man. Proverbs chapter 28 verse number 12 talks about a righteous man. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 4 talks about the young man. Proverbs 20:29 talks about the old man. Proverbs 17:11 talks about the evil man. That's one of the men we'll talk about today. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 2, talks about the good man. We'll talk about him today. Proverbs 22:24 talks about the angry man. Proverbs 19:11 talks about the discreet man. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 talks about the froward man. Proverbs 29:27 talks about the upright man. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 21 talks about the contentious man. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 13 talks about a deceitful man. Proverbs chapter 28 verse number 20 talks about a faithful man. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 13 talks about a happy man. Proverbs 11:17 talks about the merciful man. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 21 talks about a man of understanding. Now, let me explain something. 27 or 28 different descriptions of man in one book of the Bible. Now, men, let me explain something to you. God gives a lot of attention to how a man ought to behave. God says if men are to lead our country, if men are to lead our churches, if men are to lead our homes, then God would give description and advice and instruction about what men are supposed to be like. Now, the men that I'll talk to you about today, the two men in this sermon, these men are they're contrasting, if you will. They are opposites, like cowboys and Indians, or cops and robbers, or in this day and age, Jews and the Arabs. They're contrasting. I want to talk to you today about the evil man and the good man. The evil man and the good man. I'll start with the good man. The good man. Proverbs 12:2 says this, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will be condemned." Here, we find out that the good man is opposite of the evil man. They are opposite, both in attitude and in their actions. Every child deserves to have a dad who is a good man. Every grandchild deserves to have a granddad that is a good man. Every wife should have a husband that is a good man. He ought to fit into this category. As men can be good, men ought to be good. The good man, he tries to help other people. The good man is constantly trying to spiritually improve himself. Not physically, though there's nothing wrong with improving yourself physically, but men in our generation want to improve themselves physically and try to make themselves, look big and muscular and strong. I'll tell you what they need. They need to become spiritually strong and emotionally strong and biblically strong. The good man is a learner. The evil man, he already knows it all. People like being around the good man. People enjoy doing things for the good man. You see, people enjoy doing things for a good man because they believe he is somewhat deserving. And they believe that he would do the same for others. And he would not require their goodness, but he would be honored with their goodness. Now, almost as if we were here on a Wednesday night, I'm going to do kind of a little Bible study with you about the good man. Now, I'm going to read some scripture to you. We will not have time to turn to each one, but there's going to be a lot of scripture used this morning in this sermon. I want every man, every young man, every little boy, every teenager, every man, I want you to listen. And ladies, You observe very carefully. And ladies, enjoy it this morning, because we're going to talk about two women tonight. And so I want to give equal time to both genders. The good man. We're talking about the good man now. The good man does not have a perverse tongue, the Bible says. Proverbs 17, verse 20, it says, "He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief." It's talking about good here, but we see that the opposite of good, you're going to see the perverse tongue. You see, a good man is not a gossip. A good man is not, he does not spend all of his time criticizing others. Hey, a good man uses his tongue and his words in a good way. With his family, he learns how to use words of praise. With his church, he uses words of optimism. With the leaders around him, he uses words of respect and honor and dignity. You see, a good man does not have a bad tongue. A good man develops himself into using his tongue in a good way. A good man is an encourager, not a discourager. Let me say to every dad here, it is our job to encourage our children to do good and to do right. Let me say to every man here, we should encourage our wives to do good and to do right. Let me say to every man here, we should encourage one another to do good and to do right. The words that come out of our mouths should be good words and wholesome words and decent words. You see, the good man, he is a positive talker, not a negative talker. The good man, he's an uplifter, not a downcaster. Listen, men, don't let weak people control the conversation and let it go downhill and become critical and nasty and negative. Don't let that happen. Good men fix the conversation when it heads down a bad path. Listen, men, spiritually and kindly and gently, even if the wife tends to go down a path of negative conversation, gently bump that pet thing back on course. You can't blame your wife. Hey, you're the man. You ought to be able to say, "Now, honey, let's not talk about that right now. That's not good. We don't need to talk about that. I have a little tradition. I don't have a problem with my wife trying to gossip to me. But I have a little tradition. We'll get in the car on the way home on a Sunday, and this is what I'll ask. I say, honey, you gather any positive conversation today?" I always qualify it by saying, I don't want to gossip with my wife. And my wife doesn't want to gossip with me. Hey, what makes it right for husband and wife to gossip? So I wouldn't say that to somebody else in the church, but I'll say it to you. Oh, be very careful with the most precious relationship you have. Be very careful with it. Don't let weak people, men, control your conversations. Hey, men with men, keep your conversation positive and spiritual and loyal and proper. Good men do not have perverse tongues, the Bible says. Secondly, a good man handles matters wisely. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20 says this, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Here the Bible says a man, a good man, will handle the situations of life wisely. Now, wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. A good man sees the way God sees, and then he handles things the way God would want them handled. A good man is not led by his emotions, but he is led by wisdom, and he's led by God's word. Now, it's not that there's an absence of emotion, but that emotion is spiritual and controlled by spiritual truth. Men, there's nothing wrong with having emotions. There's nothing wrong with laughing and crying and having compassion. You're supposed to have emotion. But you don't let your emotions control you and make decisions for you. We live in a day and age where men are out of control emotionally. I've never seen it like this before. Men, out of control emotionally. And I'm just challenging the men. Get it together, man. We don't need men falling apart. We don't need men leading out of emotion, but we need men that lead out of principle. principle, and men that lead from the truth of the Word of God, and men that make decisions of not what is convenient, but men that say, this is right, and this is wrong, and we've got to do right. Hey, listen, I'll tell you something. My wife and I were reading an article. And I'm not a physical doctor, if you will. But I'm going to tell you, I was reading an article, and it was written by an MD and a specialist in a given area, and he said this. He said, today, they pump so many steroids, and they pump so many hormones into the meat that we eat, and they do it into the cows and the pigs and all to get them to grow quickly. We eat so much meat in our society, and the men are the biggest meat eaters, and as they're pumping those hormones and they're pumping their steroids into the meat, then we consume it, and some of you men, the chemicals in your body are out of balance, and honestly, you've got an overdose of estrogen, and you're not thinking very well, and you're letting your emotions mess you up. You say, is that possible? Yes, I believe that's possible. I see men that are on a roller coaster. You say, are you saying give up eating meat? Never. I'm saying some of you needed to get it together a little bit and be careful. Be careful. A good man handles matters wisely. A good man makes decisions according to the Bible. Let me give you a perfect example. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, there was a young man that was up and coming in the kingdom. In a kingdom. There was a king that was already in place. That king's name was Saul. That young man that was up and coming, his name was David. Well, David was quickly becoming a hero to the people in the kingdom. And one day, Saul listened to some women begin to sing a song. And they sang a song and they said, Saul has slain his thousands. Now, Saul was the king. He was a big dog. He was at the top of the totem pole. And they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, saying he was victorious over thousands. And then the next verse of the song, they said, but David, he has slain his tens of thousands. Oh my, did that ever affect Saul? Saul became jealous. Saul became enraged. Saul, he was after David because of this. But listen to this. Listen to what it says about David at that time. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 5. The Bible says this. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and David behaved himself wisely. Thank God for it. Here Saul was behaving unwisely, but David behaved wisely. What? There was another man that wasn't behaving right, but David did not let his emotions get away from him, and David behaved himself wisely. Then we find out, here's what happened in that story. One day, David approached Saul, the king. Saul picked up a javelin or a spear, and he threw it at David to try to kill David. Over what? Over emotional jealousy. Saul tried to kill David because David had whipped more guys than Saul had. Sounds like something that the third graders would struggle with on the playground, doesn't it? But listen to what it says in the next verse. And David behaved himself wisely. 1 Samuel 18, verse number 14. Then it says again, 1 Samuel 18, verse 15. Listen to what it says. It says, Saul saw that David behaved himself very wisely. Now you listen to me. Saul was out of control emotionally, but David was in control. That does not mean an absence of emotion. It meant that emotions did not make his decision, but truth and principle. And David handled himself wisely. And every man, under the sound of my voice, you need to learn to handle yourself wisely. Wisely. Scripturally. With the truth of the Word of God to make your decisions. See, we're talking about the good man. The good man. The good man here. We see the good man is not a gossip. The good man handles himself wisely. The good man, thirdly, the good man leaves an inheritance for his children and grandchildren. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, it says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children, his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You say, what do you mean by an inheritance? Well, there's more than one thing you could inherit. The Bible says, though, that we should leave an inheritance for our children and our grandchildren. Some of you, it's time for you to get it together financially. Time for some of you to work hard and stop wasting money. Stop acting like a child with your money. It's time for some of you. So there's an inheritance that could be left financially. But wait, there's an inheritance a man could leave spiritually. Leave behind a spiritual legacy. Let your children inherit a Bible that's been worn and torn and used through the years. Let your children inherit a spiritual legacy. Be a soul winner and keep people out of hell. Be careful now. Don't become disloyal to the things of God. Picture something. Judas, the betrayer of Jesus Christ. I wonder if Judas had children. I wonder if Judas had grandchildren. Can you imagine having to live with the disloyal inheritance? Who's your dad? Judas Iscariot. Hey, who's your granddad? The Jesus betrayer. You should leave an inheritance to your children and make it a spiritual one. Leave behind to your children integrity. Hey, let your grandchildren inherit character, integrity, and a wholesome character. A good name should be passed on, men. I don't want my kids to be ashamed of the name Owens. I don't. I can tell you right now, I know of a pastor. His daddy passed away. His dad was a drunk. This man was a pastor. This man first got into the ministry, he virtually had no money. But his daddy was a drunk, and he found out that when his daddy passed away, his dad left him no inheritance of money, but his dad left bill after bill after bill unpaid all across the little community where that dad lived. That pastor worked and he worked and he worked and he worked. And he finally saved up enough money. He went back to the hometown where his daddy had been a drunk, and his daddy had left bill after bill after bill. And he went around and he paid all those bills. He said, I need to clear up the family name. One of the men that he had paid off said, why in the world? You didn't have to do this. And this pastor said, I wanted my children and my children's children not to have to live with the crummy name that my daddy left behind. I'm here to clear up the family name. You listen to me, men. It used to be that a man's name was a value of gold, and we need to make it so our names are of value to our kids. Let your kids have an inheritance, maybe money, but maybe it ought to be a spiritual inheritance, but yet integrity and character. We're talking about the good man now. The good man. The good man is always trying to improve himself spiritually. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 14:14, the Bible says, a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. What that means is he's trying to satisfy his desire to be like God. He finds satisfaction for himself by serving God. Men, we should always be trying to improve ourselves spiritually. Never take on this attitude, I've grown all I'm going to grow. Look, if you come to church on Sunday morning and you only come to the preaching service, it's time for some of you to grow and start coming to Sunday school too. But if you come to church on Sunday morning and you're coming to Sunday school, it's time for some of you to grow and start coming on Sunday night too. But if you come to church on Sunday morning, and you're coming to Sunday school, and you're coming on Sunday night, it's time for some of you to grow and start coming on Wednesday night. We ought to always want to be growing, man. Never, hey, don't stop growing. Don't stop learning. Don't stop desiring to move forward in your Christian life. Number five, the good man does not have a bad heart. Proverbs 17:20 says, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good. You see, a good man has a good heart. A good man learns how to love, and he expresses love. And listen to me very carefully. Good men need to learn how to love. You need to learn to love. You need to learn to love your children. You need to learn to love your sons. Why? So that your sons will know how to love their sons, and their sons will know how to love their sons. You see, love is not just putting food on the table. There's more to it than that. You need to learn to love your wife. You need to learn to love your children. You need to learn to love other men in the church. And you've got to learn it. And you're going to have to work at it. The Bible says men ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And then we've got to learn it. We've got to learn it. It doesn't come easy. I mean, women,
They're mush balls. I mean, they're lovey-dovey, smushy, gooshy stuff all the time. Us men, we're...
Fine. Love you. God bless you. I love you. I told you. If it changes, I'll get back with you. Until then, baby, just believe it.
I remember my wife, she'd say to me when we first got married, honey, can you hold me? My first thought is, what? What for? I don't go around thinking, hold me. I need someone to hold me, man. Could you hold me? I need help. I need help. I never feel that way. I'm never in the airport saying, oh, got an urge to be helped. But Mrs. Owens is put together differently. She'd say, will you hold me? So I'd go over and I'd hold her. Then I'd ask a question, is this enough? I needed to learn to hold her and be sincere. And mean it. And then one day I was holding her, and I said, honey, how long? And then she said something. She said, until I let go. In other words, there was a real need there, and I was the only one that could fulfill that need. If I'm not careful, I'd be stingy because I didn't have the exact same need. I was not expressing the love that she needed. And let me say, men, a good man learns to love. Good man's just not big and burly and tough and spits out the window while he's driving his car. A good man knows how to love. A good man is a man of understanding, the Bible says. Number six, the good man is a man of understanding. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:8, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Men, we are to be men of understanding. You see, a good man is not constantly confused. Why? Because he follows and believes the Bible. Biblically disobedient men suffer from more confusion than obedient men. Did you hear that? Biblically disobedient men suffer from more confusion in life than obedient men. Because the Bible says, he that keepeth understanding shall find good. Obedient people get a certain understanding from God. Number seven, the good man receives good things. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. Here, Bible's teaching us that good men will receive favor from men, from other people. You know, people will favor a good man. Did you know something? Did you know there's nothing wrong with people liking you? Men almost get this idea, I don't care what anybody, I didn't mean to scare you like that. Well, I don't care what anybody thinks. I do. I think we ought to care what people think. Now, there comes a point when, hey, we go back to the gossip issue. There comes a point when you must say, I don't want to hear that. Now, you're not to give in on your convictions and your stand for right in an effort to be good, but you ought to be good while you're taking that stand for right. And a good man, here the Bible says, procureth favor. He is favored by men. Secondly, he receives favor from the Lord. The Bible says a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Proverbs 12:2. Wow. Hey, you ever hear it talks about receiving favor from the Lord? You ever know a man, it seems like God gives him extra blessings, and somehow he is favored by God? Now, again, I didn't write this. I don't think I can totally explain it. I can just tell you this. It says that a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. And that's talking about extra favor. You ever heard someone say God doesn't have favorites? I'm not sure that's true. Here it says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. How would you like to have God's favor? How would you like to have the favor of other men? The Bible says also, a good man receiveth mercy and truth. Proverbs 14:22 says, do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Now listen to me, men. If there's one thing that you and I need in our lives, we need all the mercy of God we can get. All the mercy we can get. If you will develop these good qualities, then God said you are going to receive more mercy. You're going to receive the favor of men. You're going to receive the favor of God. You're going to receive extra mercy from God. And then it says,
do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. A good man will get extra blessings from God in regard to truth. How would you like to have extra understanding from the book of truth? How would you like to have extra wisdom from the book of truth? How would you like to have extra guidance from the book of truth? God said, if you will develop good qualities and decide you want to be a good man, that God will give you truth, and God will give you mercy, and God will give you favor, and man will give you favor. Hey, sounds good, but wait a minute. There's the other side. We've talked about the cowboys. Let's talk about the Indians. The Bible also talks about the evil man. The evil man. Proverbs 17:11 says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. The evil man is the opposite of the good man. The evil man hurts others. The evil man does not want to learn much. He lives for his flesh. People don't like being around the evil man for long. They tolerate him. They endure him. They do not enjoy his presence. He's evil. Let me give you some of the characteristics, the behaviors of the evil man. Number one, the evil man uses his mouth and words wrongly. Proverbs 2:12 says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. An evil man, someone, a man that is behaving in an evil fashion, he's a gossip. Let me say something here. Oh, I've heard preachers for years. They always give the women a hard time about gossip. It has been my experience. Men are as much gossips as women are. Hey, this evil man, he's a gossip. This evil man, he's a critic. This evil man, he uses his logic as a poison against people. He knows just enough to be dangerous. Oh, be careful, evil man. He's an authority attacker. He's negative. He may initially compliment someone. That's to get the innocent bystander's attention. But eventually, he'll criticize. He's the kind of person that says, you know what? I really like that Brother Ewan. And a few minutes later, they say, but let me tell you something about him. The evil man uses his mouth and his words wrongly. No control over his words. No control over the temper attached to those words. No control over that attitude. And listen, the evil man learns how to control his ears. You see, if the gossip has no place to talk, then the gossip will go away. So somebody thinks that gossip is merely talking. No, gossip is either talking or listening. I got to tell you this story, speaking of ears. So last week I was helping my wife. We were trying to get our yard fixed up a little bit. You know, it went for, you know, 7 or 8 months without any attention, and the spring is here, so I had to get it spring cleaning. I was working on that thing. I had my weed whacker in one hand. We've got these great big trash cans. They're big. They hold about, 10 bags of trash. They're big mama trash cans. I mean, humongous. And they're on wheels. And I had the weed whacker, and I was trying to trim around them. One of them had fallen. There was just a little bit of trash in the bottom of that thing. I do not know what happened. But I had the weed whacker in one hand, and all of a sudden, I tripped and fell. That trash can was kind of leaning on its side a little bit, and I fell into my trash can. I couldn't believe it. And when I did, the whole left side of my body, I kind of fell left. I must be heavier on the left side. And I fell left. When I did, I mean, it started at the top of my head and down the side of that trash can. It just scraped down the side of my face, down the left side of my body. And there was something in the bottom. I don't know if it was a cucumber or something, but it was wet. And there was something in the bottom. I'm going to tell you the truth. What I thought, I just tore my ear off. I'm laying there, and the weed whacker's still going. I'm thinking, if that weed whacker gets a hold of me, it's going to start slapping me in the face. So I've got this weed whacker. I'm holding it on the outside of this trash can, and I don't know why, but I got the little button pushed, and that thing's going, and it's popping against that trash can, and I can't hear anything. And one reason I can't hear is because, obviously, I just lost my left ear. I'm thinking, my ear's gone. There was something wet in there. I mean, I could feel something wet running down my face. I don't know if it was a piece of cucumber or something in there. And I'm thinking, you know, that's my ear. I got a piece of cucumber, but I'm thinking, that's my ear. My whole body's aching. I'm trying to figure out how to get out of that trash can. And then it occurred to me, I hope nobody's watching. The whole left side of my body was all bruised. And when I got out,
I thought, okay, I'm going to have to see if I got an ear. I slowly worked my way up, and was I ever pleased? As you can see, I still have my left ear. You'd be better off cutting off your ears than listening to the gossip and the criticism that people throw around that hurt other people. The evil man, he misuses his word. The evil man, he leaves God's way. The Bible says, mentioning the evil man in Proverbs 2:12, and then in verse number 13 it says, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness. Hey, we stay on God's path, which is the path of light, by doing what the Bible says to do. And the evil man, the Bible says, he leaves the path of light and he steps away onto the path of darkness. The evil man does not let the Bible make his decisions. He uses his own judgment. Now, there's nothing wrong with common sense as long as common sense is biblical common sense. But man's common sense in itself is humanism. We are to let God make our decisions for us. I'll tell you something. You be careful. Watch for men who were once right with God, who lead the way. They can become exceedingly evil. Now, we've not had that happen here since I became pastor. But I've watched it happen. I've watched men that were prominent in the church, and they leave God's way. When they leave God's way, their ego and their pride, they somehow launch into a situation of exaltation where that ego and that pride become prominent. And they'll actually attack the church at one time they said they loved. What happens? You leave the way, Bible says, if you leave the way of God, you will become evil and you'll start walking in a dark path. I hope that never happens here, but let me warn you. If it ever does, you've been warned now. You see somebody that was prominent in the church and suddenly they rise up against the church and they're now walking in the evil way. Number three, the evil man does not understand good judgment. He does not have good judgment. Listen to this. Proverbs 28, verse 5, the Bible says, evil man understand not judgment. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. It almost seems as if God is saying here that the evil ways of a man have blinded him to having good judgment. He makes bad decision after bad decision. He suffers unnecessary loss after unnecessary loss. Messed up relationship after messed up relationship. Constantly questioning the judgment of leaders. Constantly, hey, sir, are you blind to all the failure that's going on around you? Have you lost your way in regard to seeing what good judgment is? I don't say this to hurt you. I don't say this to hurt any man. I'm not trying to challenge you in the presence of your wife or your followers. But let me say, I've talked to many ladies that say, I just wish my husband seen things from the spiritual aspect. Is your judgment clouded? Are you living for God? Or have you become evil and as a result of it, has your judgment been clouded? Hey, number four, the evil man is rebellious, the Bible says. Proverbs 17:11, it says, in an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Are you flat out a rebel against God? Are you a rebel against God? Are you a rebel against the Bible? Are you a rebel against purity? Are you a rebel against church and the pastor and the laws of our land? Do you try to get others to become rebels? Hey, teenage boy, let me warn you. Don't you start behaving like a rebel in your teenage years because you're liable to grow up and be a daddy rebel.
Right.
The Bible says an evil man is rebellious. Hey, the Bible says, number five, the evil man is crooked. It says in Proverbs 2:15, whose ways are crooked and they are forward in their paths. Hey, an evil man is deceptive in his business dealings with people. He's crooked. He doesn't walk a straight line. You can't tell for sure where he stands. A crooked man, he'll be with you one moment and against you the next moment. You just can't figure him out. He's crooked with his dealings with money. He's crooked in his relationships. He's two-faced. He's crooked. Something's not right there. You know, he'll give the impression in your presence that everything's good with you. But out of your presence, he's a backstabber. That's a crooked man. That's an evil man, the Bible says. Do you try to figure out ways to deceive people, to profit yourself? Even in relationships. There are people who go around trying to make everybody like them while attacking to the individual they want to like them. They'll attack somebody else. Then they'll go to the one they attacked and act as if they like them and attack the one they just talked to. They're crooked. They're twisted. The Bible says the evil man is crooked in his business dealings, his financial arrangements, even in his relationships. The evil man. The Bible says, number six, the evil man will reap the consequences of being evil. For instance, he'll die early. Proverbs 11:19 says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Now, so you understand something. Sin and evil are two different things. Sin is something that I would do that would hurt me. Evil is something that I might do that would then affect others. You see, it is worse to be evil than just to be sinful. We're all sinners, but we all don't have to be evil. We're all going to sin. We're going to do things that are wrong, and we're going to hurt ourselves. But when someone goes to hurting others, that's why gossip and criticism and disloyalty, that's why those things are such a big issue, because those are evil things. They're evil. And here the Bible says, as righteousness tendeth to life, it says, if you'll live righteously, if you be like the good man, you'll have a more fulfilled life, you'll have a longer life and a fruitful life. But so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. In other words, goodness brings life. Evil could bring premature death. Then, another consequence of the evil man, he received no reward from God because God knows the truth about him. Listen, Proverbs 24, verse 19 and 20, it says, fret not thyself because of the evil man, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. Here God said, you're not going to get reward because you behaved in an evil fashion. Hey, evil man, live it up. Eat, drink, be merry. Why? Tomorrow you'll die, and you'll die sooner than what you should have. And the only reward you're going to get is what you can muster up for yourself, because God's not going to reward you for being evil. You spent your life hurting other people. You spent your life being mean and hurting the cause of Christ or the people around you. The evil man. The Bible says the evil man feels like he's trapped. Proverbs 29:6 says, in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Word snare there is talking about a trap. Feels like he has nowhere to turn. It's a self-inflicted captivity. And I'll tell you why. That evil man goes around talking about people, and before long, nobody much trusts him. He's got himself snared by his words and snared by his actions. Hey, an evil man left in the church long enough will feel like nobody likes him. And he did it to himself. Right. Nobody likes me. I don't feel accepted. I don't feel like I belong here. How did you do that to yourself? By behaving in an evil fashion? Is that what happened? He feels trapped. The evil man, the Bible says the evil man will end up being humbled by the good man. Proverbs 14, verse 19, it says, the evil bow before the good. The evil bow before the good. He bows to the good man. Oh, maybe not physically, but all can see the honor of the good man and the plight of the evil man. And good men humble evil men just in their behavior. The evil man looks at the good man and says, I don't stack up. That's often why evil men will attack good men. Because they have been humbled and their ego does not want to allow that to happen. The good man gets right with God. The evil man said, I didn't even want him to get right with God. Something wrong there, huh? Let me tell you quickly, and I'm finished. God's instruction to us about the evil man. God said, don't be with him. Proverbs 4:27 says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Get out of there. Get away from the evil man. Proverbs 24, verse 1 says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Stop going to lunch with the evil man. Don't listen to the evil man. Be kind, but don't be best friends. Be friendly, but don't be best friends. When somebody acts in an evil way, we're commanded by God not to be with them. Secondly, the Bible says, don't envy evil men. Proverbs 24:1 says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them." Hey, listen, the evil man, his evil may bring on some prosperity. His crooked ways may seemingly bring on some prosperity. But God said, it's wicked prosperity, and you should not envy him. You say, he's evil, and I see some prosperity there. Hey, that prosperity was gained in an evil, crooked fashion, and God is going to discipline. God is going to correct him. And God said, don't envy him. Don't envy that. Those of you that serve the Lord and you look at people in high places and you say, look at everything they have. And can I go to work and I barely make it, but I'm faithful to God. I envy Donald Trump. Don't you envy Donald Trump. Don't you envy him. Hey, the best thing that's ever going to happen to him is going to happen here, because one of these days, if Donald Trump doesn't get born again, he's going to split hell wide open. And then he'll envy you. But you and I are not to envy the evil man. We're not to envy him. Don't look and say, look at everything he has. You better look and say, look at what he's going to get. It's not going to be good. Don't frustrate yourself because of the evil man, the Bible says. Proverbs 24, verse 19 says, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Here the Bible says, don't let them frustrate you. Don't let evil men steal your joy. Don't walk around saying, I just can't take it. Why is it going good for that guy? He's a jerk, and I struggle with some of the things that happen to me in life. Don't you fret because of them. Don't let evil men steal your joy. I can't let evil men who come around try to stop me from being on topside. You know something? Somebody's mean to me. Somebody's unkind to me. Someone's evil. I cannot let evil people steal my joy. I cannot let the evil man hinder me. This church expects me to walk into this pulpit. This church expects me to be on topside. This church expects me to tell you there's a heaven and it's a good place. And this church expects me to believe there's victory. And I'm going to do it. I don't want the evil man to get me down. But it can happen, can it? Well, you see the works of the evil man. You hear about him talking. You hear about what he's doing. You hear about what he's up against. And it has a tendency to get other men down. Let me say to every man here, God said, the evil man, he's going to die early. The evil man, he's not going to get reward. The evil man has trapped himself. And he is going to be humbled by the good man. Don't be around him. Don't envy him. And don't let him frustrate the joy and the victory and the peace that God provides the good man. Two men. God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. I wonder which man God was looking for. Two men. The good man and the evil man. We need good men. We need good men. If you're here today and you're not born again, I welcome you to the Savior. The first step to being able to qualify for the goodness that's available is by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, no man is perfectly good. We're all sinners. That's why we need a Savior. But Jesus Christ will save you. You say, Brother Owens, I'd love to start working on being a good man. Then you need to start by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. He then can help you to develop the goodness of God in your life. It's not the goodness of man. It's the goodness of God that a man attempts to live that makes us, as the Bible would call, good men. There's no such thing as a man that's good enough to save himself. That's why we have a Savior. There's only one that was perfectly good. His name's Jesus Christ. And He's the Savior. If you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior today. This sermon is for men. It's for women. It's for boys, it's for girls, young and old alike. Two men. Today, sitting in this pews, two kinds of men. There's saved men and lost men. You're either saved or you're not. If you're not, you ought to come get saved. There are two men, two kinds of people here today. Those that want to be right with God, and those that don't care. There are some that you're away from God. And there are some you're doing everything you can to get close to God. Figure out which one you are. If you need this altar, we'll welcome you to use it in a moment. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.